Here in the province of Ontario, we have a problem. Well, we have a lot of problems in this province, but one particular problem we have is the backlog at the Landlord and Tenant Tribunal. Complaints to the tribunal are filed by both tenants and landlords. For tenants, it can be things such as unfit living conditions, illegal rent charged by landlords, or even harassment by their landlords. And for landlords, well, they'll file complaints for reasons such as the rent hasn't been paid, or the tenants are damaging the property, or making life miserable for the other tenants or neighbors. In this province, we now have a backlog of almost 40,000 cases, and it's taking these cases anywhere from 8 months to 2 years to be heard. About a year ago, we did a podcast about a first-time buyer who bought a condo that had a tenant in it, and the seller guaranteed that the tenant would be gone by the time the transaction closed so the new buyer could move in. But on closing date, the buyer couldn't move in because the tenant didn't move out. This led to a messy dilemma where lawyers had to be retained to sort it all out. Today on Sold in the Six, we have an update on the situation and maybe even a conclusion. So when we first did this story back in early 2022, we interviewed a gentleman we called Joseph, but it wasn't his real name because the case was going before the courts. But now that it's over, I welcome him back, but we'll be using his real name today, and it's Daniel McLaughlin. Daniel, welcome back to Sold in the Six.
Well, hello, Des, and thank you very much. Great to be here again.
Yeah, wow, it's great to have you back, and what a story this was. We have to recap it for everybody. This is about the condo that your son had bought, and when it came time for closing, the tenant didn't move out, and things have been tied up for almost 2 years.
Actually 15 months. That's a long time.
Yep, that's long enough. It's long enough. Yeah, so let's go over what had happened back then. I'll help you along here, but from what I remember, you bought this condo. Your son Paul bought this condo downtown. It was a good deal because it was a tenanted condo. The property at the time was on the market for like almost 2 months, which was unheard of in that market. But because it was tenanted, it was a good opportunity. You went in, you got the property for under the asking price, and your son gave notice to his landlord, because he was renting at the time, that he was going to be moving out to move into his new condo.
Right, that's right.
Yep, he was going to be moving into his new condo. And then just before closing, you found out that the tenant that was occupying the unit wasn't going to move out, so you didn't close.
That's exactly the situation, Des.
Yeah, and then the owner back then was saying, yeah, but the market started going up and the owner's like, yeah, okay, if you want to walk, go ahead and walk. But you didn't walk. You and Paul didn't walk on this deal. So the way we left it is that you had hired a litigation lawyer and you were going to sue them for damages and you still wanted to close.
Yeah. Paul was really interested in living in that building. It's something that he had been looking forward to for quite a long time. And, you know, under the circumstances, we weren't prepared to walk away from it. So in hiring the lawyer, we just wanted to make sure that Paul's rights under the purchase agreement, that his rights were being protected.
Yeah, for sure. Now, this led to a lot of complications too, because you had, number one, you had made deposits to contractors to do some renovations in the unit, like floors and so on. The interest rates back then were a lot lower than they are today, for starters, so that could cost you more. And just the legal fees for going through all of this.
Correct. So that's why it was a bit complicated, because, you know, in these kind of situations, there are no winners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as well as this costing the seller some money, it also cost us money to see this deal through.
Yeah. So why did the tenant refuse to move out?
So the best that I can determine from the information that I've got, their impression was that this wasn't a bona fide sale. So their concern was that this was being used as a means to get them out of the unit because they were paying below market to rent that unit. So they felt that, you know, this was kind of a sham deal, even though there was nothing to substantiate that, and all the appropriate paperwork had been submitted, and Paul had also signed an affidavit to the fact that he was going to be the new owner, and he was going to be living in that unit. It was going to be his principal residence, and he was going to be there for at least a year.
Yeah, exactly.
So in spite of all of that, the tenant had dug in their heels and were pushing back and saying, I'm not moving out for this reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's, I remember that the proper paperwork, as you mentioned, was presented to the tenant, and that's what we call the N-12. The N is in Norman 12, that states that the new owner or the buyer of the condo would be taking possession and moving in. So the proper at least 60 days notice was given by the previous owner, who was this tenant's landlord. And plus, as a result, that tenant would have received 1 free month's rent to go along with it before your son Paul moved into the unit.
Yeah, so those are all the technical aspects through the landlord-tenant board. And all of that was appropriately served, and everything was in place to kind of alleviate tenant's concerns and for the deal to be able to close.
Okay, so did you go through, well, actually you said you had written a letter to, it was a provincial government official about this, about the backlog and how ridiculous it was that you couldn't even get a hearing.
Yeah, so a couple of things with this that also added to the complication, Des, is that as the new purchaser of this unit, we didn't have a relationship with the tenant. So we weren't directly involved in the process itself, and we're relying on the seller to be able to manage that. So, you know, it just added a couple more layers of complications to it.
Okay, so the closing date was supposed to be February the 4th, 2022. It didn't happen, and you were digging in the last time I spoke to you. So what happened since that date?
So there was a hearing at the landlord-tenant tribunal with the,
Hallelujah,
with the tenant.
You got one.
Well, here's the thing, though. This happened back in probably late summer.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, from my understanding of it, a minor technicality in some of the paperwork that had been filled out. And as a result of that technicality, the adjudicator decided it was appropriate to deny the application to evict.
Wow. What was the technicality on the application?
I really don't know, other than it was an issue with the paperwork, something that had been submitted by a paralegal representing the sellers.
Oh, interesting. Because the paperwork, that N-12 is very straightforward.
Absolutely,
you just click, you just check a couple of boxes,
yeah,
and it's supposed to be, you know, ironclad.
Yeah,
right?
Supposed to be.
But nothing is when it comes to dealing with tenants and if they don't want to move out anyway.
Yeah. So as a result, it was tossed and meant that the process had to start over again.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
So it wasn't until months and months later that another hearing had been scheduled.
Okay. So, and then when the other hearing finally came up, what happened?
The adjudicator reviewed the evidence that was presented. Paul attended. They're all virtual these days. Paul attended.
Yeah, because it really was, because they're not, this tenant was not your tenant.
That's correct. Yeah.
It was the previous, they're the owner's tenant.
Right.
Yeah.
So Paul did attend to back up the his contention and make sure that the adjudicator understood that it was a bona fide sale. He was going to be moving into it. So
yeah, good.
At the end of, once all the evidence had been presented, at the end of it, the adjudicator deemed it was appropriate for the tenant to move out. And shortly after that, they received written notice to vacate. They moved out as per that notice, and we were finally able to close the deal at the beginning of this month.
All right. Congratulations on that.
So coming back to your question earlier about, provincial government. Yeah, I had written letters to the Attorney General's, or a letter to the Attorney General's office, because they oversee tribunals in Ontario. Just to express a frustration, not our frustration particularly, but frustration in general with the process and the fact that the landlord-tenant tribunal is it's a broken process. It doesn't serve anybody's interests. It's supposed to protect the interests of tenants and landlords, but in this case, can't get a hearing for months and months and months, putting landlords in kind of a distress situation in some cases. We were fortunate because we have the resources to be able to weather something like this. But I know of many other people, and we've read a lot in the media about this in the past as well, Des, about landlords that were stymied because it takes 7 or 8 months from when paperwork is filed to be able to get a hearing at the tribunal. And, you know, once you're before the adjudicator, then, you know, the chips will fall where they may. But to get that hearing and for landlords to be sacrificing income and jeopardizing the stability of their investments, that's a big problem.
Buying an investment property with a tenant already in it is a good step in getting into the real estate market or for long-term investments. And if you're ever thinking of doing that, I would recommend that you get in touch with my mortgage guy, Jason Georgopoulos of Dominion Lending. Jason has access to more than 30 lenders, and he can set you up with the right lender to get you the right deal for that investment property. To get in touch with Jason, you can email him at jasong@dominionlending.ca. It's a big, big problem because I know a lot, you know, there are tenants out there that think that the landlords are fat cows, that landlords are rich. But in most cases, landlords that I know, you know, they own one other income property and they need that rent, that monthly rent to pay the mortgage, to pay the monthly maintenance fees if it's a condo, to pay the taxes, to cover some of the maintenance fees when it comes to just keep the upkeep of the building or the upkeep of the actual property. And like you're saying, in this case, if it wasn't a case where the property was being sold, this landlord could have lost the unit. Mm-hmm. They completely lost it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a reality. You know, and
many have.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, some people have thought that, you know, real estate investment is kind of their ticket to Easy Street down the road. But when these kind of challenges face them, it's a sober awakening for some people that there's risks associated with becoming a landlord, especially these days. Increasing interest rates, you know, cuts into your cash flow in a property that you would have had a positive cash flow on now is something that you're going to be sinking money into for the foreseeable future as a result of rising interest rates. And if a tenant, for whatever reason, decides that they're not going to be paying their rent in full or on time or at all, that's a huge burden for small landlords to be able to absorb.
Oh, is it ever? So let's talk about some of the implications for a buyer like your son and what he had to go through. So we talked about your son giving notice of where he was staying. At the time, the landlord where he was staying said, "Oh, it's okay. I know your property's not closed and you can stay for as long as you want until it closes or whatever." Is that actually what happened? Did he get a chance to stay in that unit that he was at before?
Fortunately, I mean, he had an understanding landlord. He was an excellent tenant. And that relationship was, that was a good relationship. So it worked out for both of them.
Okay. And what about the contractors that you had already given deposits to?
So for one of them, we had to take the material and put it in storage. And now we're going to be arranging to have that material installed. Another one, he hung on, and as soon as the deal closed, was ready to proceed with the renovation and some work that Paul wanted to do some upgrades there, flooring and painting and lighting and things like that. And that contractor, you know, by his word, moved forward with all of that and actually wrapped it up just the other day.
Okay, and now we've got 15 months to get this thing sorted out and a huge rise in interest rates, right? Much higher than what your son Paul was committed for at the time. So what happened there when you finally closed with the interest rates being so much higher? Did you actually end up getting financial compensation from the seller through because of all of this?
So part of the negotiation was to make sure that at least on the interest, the additional interest portion, that Paul wasn't going to be disadvantaged for the 2-year term that he had his mortgage set up for. You know, there was a number that was negotiated. It didn't make Paul whole, but, you know, as I said, there's no winners in these kind of situations.
Yeah.
So the legal costs add up in a hurry. You know,
they sure do.
Billed by the hour, and you're on the clock for conversations, so they accumulate very quickly.
Yeah. So, okay.
But bottom line,
I guess
with it,
what you're saying,
it cost a little bit more in the long run, and it, you know, obviously cost Paul 15 months of time to, for his enjoyment of that unit, to be settled into that unit, to be moving on with life. There were a lot of things that were just kind of sitting on hold on the back burner, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess, like you said, the legal fees, they started piling up as well, right? So was, I know it ended up being sorted out at the landlord and tenant board, but what happened between your lawyer and the lawyers for the actual sellers? What type of negotiation were you working on up to that point?
So here's the thing. I mean, with litigation attorneys, there's two approaches. There are two outcomes, really. One is we can negotiate a reasonable settlement for everybody involved, or we can explain it in front of a judge and they can tell you what the settlement is going to be.
Right. And that's where you want the former.
Absolutely. Because otherwise, definitely, we could be having a follow-up to this 2 or 3 years down the road by the time it's all overdone and settled. And again, no winners. The winners are, the winners are that we're keeping lawyers employed.
Yeah, it is. And I know we've actually interviewed a really good litigation lawyer on this podcast, Gavin Tai, and like he'll be the first to say, stop throwing money at this. You know, let's make a deal.
Yeah.
We don't want to go to court. And plus, you don't know what's going to happen when you get to court.
Exactly. It's a wild card.
You have no idea.
Nobody can call it.
Yeah. Great. So the way it's worked out, Paul finally has a unit. Yeah. He's finally moved in. It's cost both sides probably a lot of money, but you said you weren't whole, but it did cost you more than what you thought it was going to be based on the purchase price that you had, that Paul had paid at the time. And waiting and so on. And how's he feeling right now about this? I imagine he's pretty happy.
Well, sure. He's pumped. He's been out making arrangements for furniture that he's bought to get delivered to the unit. were in there just doing some finishing touches and finalizing a couple of things, but he's excited to be there. And it's now that the work is done, the new flooring's done, the walls are painted, and new lighting and everything is in, it's a nice looking unit. He's going to be very happy there. Absolutely.
So it was worth the wait in the long run, was it, Dan?
I think so. And given, you know, given where the market is, I mean, there's still value, even though we wound up spending a little bit more and more time. There is still value in that unit. That value, I'll say that unit's appreciated over those 15 months.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right, because at the time you did get a pretty good deal on it. You've got, you got in just at a little bit of a lull in the market. I mean, we have these for like maybe a week or two at a time. We've seen this over the last few years, but also the fact that the unit was tenanted, like we had talked about before, it doesn't always show the best. So you can't go in and stage it. You basically can't get the showings that you need. You have to give 24 hours notice. And sometimes the tenant will say, even with that 24 hours notice, no, it's not convenient. It's not convenient for me. And so on. So the showings of the unit are usually limited, and it takes longer for a tenanted property to sell unless you really put it at a rock bottom price and hope that a bidding war will bring the price up. But that doesn't happen a lot in the condo market, especially with a tenanted property. So that's great. It all worked out. It sounds like it's going to be all good for them now.
I think so. It's a good outcome. And there are a lot of good lessons to be learned along the way with it as well. You know, I know Paul learned some valuable lessons, and every day we're learning something new.
Yeah. Well, you said like, and at the time, and you know, your agent did everything she was supposed to do, and the other agent representing the seller slash landlord presented the papers, and maybe there was a little bit of, you know, something wrong with the form or whatever, but it sounds like they did everything that they were supposed to do. And in the end, the tenant just said, "I'm not moving out."
That sums it up.
We're hearing a lot of this.
Yeah, that sums it up. I mean, both our agent, who is fantastic, and the seller's agent, very diligent, and you know, spoken to him subsequently. Yeah, it was kind of a shame. But I'll tell you that it's from some of the real estate professionals that I've spoken to and shared this story with as well, of course, because, you know, when you hear it firsthand is a lot different than reading it or reading about it somewhere else.
Yeah, hear it firsthand or experiencing it firsthand.
Yeah. And I know there are some that have said, never taking a listing for a for a unit that is tenanted and not going to be that keen in showing them to prospective purchasers, especially after this experience, because it was a lot of time invested on both their parts. The commission didn't change as a result. So... You know, you come up against these deals, and it's sometimes a bit of a hard pill to swallow that somebody just decides that they're going to, for whatever reason, either take advantage of the system or feel that they're in the right and want to press for what they feel to be their rights through the system as well.
Yeah, for sure. And with a, you know, with 40,000 cases in front of the landlord and tenant tribunal waiting to be heard, time is on the tenant side. It's going to take, like I said, anywhere between 8 months to 2 years to get this thing sorted out. So why rush?
Yeah.
On their part,
yeah.
Right? Like, why rush?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because whoever's holding the money is, to some extent, they're the ones in power.
Okay. They sure are.
I mean, that's generally the way life works, is it not?
yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Anyway, Dan, we're just about ready to wrap up here, and I'm just so pleased to have you back, and it's great to hear that it ended up going just fine in the end. I know it was a long, long time, but, you know, Paul got the unit, It's not easy for first-time buyers to get into the market, as we know. So that was part of the frustration as well. They find, you know, he finally got a property and then he couldn't close it. Mm-hmm. But here we are, you know, like I said, you know, 15, 16 months later, it's done. He's got his place and we have a happy first-time buyer.
Yes, absolutely. So we're looking forward to the future, and we're looking forward to some more successful real estate deals that don't take 15 months to close.
Yeah, for sure, Dan. Anyway, all the best to you and your family. Congratulations to Paul.
Yeah, thanks very much, Des. Pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, to you too. And that's our latest episode of Sold in the Six. So as you can see, you can take every step possible and do all the right things, but sometimes the tenant just won't move out. Anyway, I'd like to thank my producer, Doug Downs of Stories and Strategies. And if you like this podcast, please subscribe, leave a rating and a review, and please forward this podcast to a friend. If you need to get in touch with me, you can email me at des@desmondbrown.ca. And of course, you can follow me on all of the social media platforms. And my handle is Des in the Six, number 6, IX. Until next time, I'm Desmond Brown.